editorial director at Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podomatic, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And also, if you would like to give us a quick and positive review on Apple Podcasts, it helps other people to find us. So today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Joseph Giuliano. He is Executive Creative Director at Black Label Content, and Paul Feig, who is the director of such popular movies that I'm sure you have heard of, like Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters, The Heat, and Spy. He is also wrapping up production of a new movie, A Simple Favor, as well as executive producing Joel McHale's new show for Netflix. So I have no idea how either of these people made time to talk to me today, but I appreciate it. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paige. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Paul. So, all right. So, Joseph, you have done the Oscar promo campaign for the past 7 years, starting with the year, I believe, hosted by Anne Hathaway and James Franco, and then continuing through this year, which is again hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. So how did you first land this gig?
Well, it was with ABC. I'd been working with ABC, and we pitched for the ideas. You know, they brought people in, and we pitched with Anne Hathaway and James Franco. We ended up getting the job. And that was the year that the first time, I think, that they had, you know, a man and a woman do it together. And we went through a lot of ideas and ended up, you know, creating the boot camp idea. Them getting ready for, you know, the Oscars going to boot camp.
Yeah, so we'll play a little clip from that.
Let's do this, Franco.
Hosts James Franco and Anne Hathaway must undergo intensive training to enhance their agility, strength, and speed.
Your record!
Yes!
Right!
And prepare for any emergency.
Truly, this is a great year in film.
Where's your mouth?
Before they can take on Hollywood's most esteemed icon, Oscar.
And, but then also, how did you guys come up with the idea? And were James and Anne always up for it?
It was the ABC creative team that had, you know, pitched a couple of ideas, and the Academy was involved as well. And then it goes to Anne and to Franco, and then they took a look and they loved the idea. And some of the ideas evolved with working with them for the boot camp, but pretty much they were on board from the start.
Yeah. So, There's a story on Brief that you guys can go check out, and this promo is there, and it's really cute. And also, Joseph, just to back up a little bit, I know you have other facets to your career. So what kind of led you into this part of promo production? Because you do a lot of music production too, correct?
Yes. I mean, I've done a lot of music content, a lot of music shows and television and commercials. And this sort of was a natural lead in. And, you know, in our past, we've done a lot of work with celebrities, worked with actors and people. And I think that's probably what led me into this.
Mm-hmm. And then with these different Oscar campaigns, which we'll go through, but you specifically focus on the ones that are featuring the hosts.
We do the live action, the launch generally, okay, and the marketing. We don't really do the clip based stuff.
Right. Okay. Because there are a lot of, I was looking through promos and there are a lot of clip based ones too.
Yeah, we're generally doing the launch, which is also a cinema spot as well.
Okay. And then I believe you said that Paul joined you on the Ellen DeGeneres campaign she hosted in 2014. And why don't you guys tell me how Paul came into this process and how the two of you worked together?
Paul?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I had just joined the Academy. I'd finally gotten to become a member, which was very exciting for me. And I was off shooting a pilot for HBO in New York, and got a call that that they were, you know, I knew Ellen was hosting the Oscars and that she was interested in me potentially directing a promo spot for them. And, you know, and they said, you know, if you have any ideas too, because we're kind of wide open. And I loved this song. I just found that song that we used.
I love that song too. It's a great song. Fits in the tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I got obsessed with hearing it with, like, I just had this image in my head of people in suits dancing. And I'm such a big suit proponent that I thought, oh, I should make some kind of video for the internet just kind of promoting men in suits and do this fun dance number. But then I was thinking, well, I don't want to raise the money myself to do that. So I was just sitting on this idea. So when I got that call, I was like, wait a minute, this would be great because I could just have, you know, Ellen in a tux and have all these people in tuxes coming down the street. And pitch, I wrote up this little paragraph for them and sent it in. And next thing I knew, they wanted to do it. And I was hugely thrilled.
And, you know, it was a perfect storm because part of the idea before that was going on, you know, in a parallel universe, we were talking about that year's sort of idea that everyone wins, or a populist sort of view of the Oscars that year. And we were talking about Main Street and, you know, River City and The Music Man. And then Paul's idea sort of fell right, you know, it was sort of synchronicity to the backlot thing with the 300 dancers and that kind of thing. So it was a perfect storm.
Yeah, this is another one you can go see on Brief, but this is such a fun spot. I feel like it really stood out. It was one of those spots where, you know, everybody looks forward to the Oscars, but I feel like this spot sort of had its own little time in the sun.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things I've ever done on film.
Wow, really?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And it was on top of that, it was fun to make. But the other thing that Paul brought to it that just made it what it is was Paul said, it's got to be one shot. It can only be one shot. And we got into the day, and there were some lip sync, and, you know, some people from the ABC were saying, where would an edit point be? And Paul's like, there's not going to be an edit point. It needs to be a one shot. And I think it was take number 9 or something like that, that we ended up, we just did it and did it. And, you know, Paul persevered and got that one shot, which is what makes it special, in my opinion.
Why, Paul? Why did it have to be one shot?
Just because I just thought it would give such energy to it. And I have kind of a hatred of really cutty musical numbers because I feel the reason they do that, A, sometimes it's to add, you know, excitement and all that, but a lot of times I feel it's to cover for the fact that, like, the star can't dance or, like, you know, people make mistakes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was just the idea of, like, Ellen starts by herself. She's joined by a couple more people, then more people, and then we just have this spectacle, because, you know, that to me is what the Oscars is all about. It's about spectacle, and it celebrates movies that, you know, are great, but a lot of, you know, from being a 55-year-old guy and watching the Oscars all these years, you know, it's always been these giant movies a lot of times that won awards, you know, in the day. And so I just wanted to kind of bring all that sort of magic and pageantry back to the idea of the Oscars. And then I was lucky enough, because when I brought this up, Ellen works with Stephen Twitch Boss all the time, you know, on her show. And she said, I'd love for Steven, for Twitch to do this. I was like, oh, my God, because I'm such a fan of his. And, you know, my only thing to him was, like, just watch Bollywood movies, because that's what I really, I love the energy of those. And he went away, you know, and I was actually still in New York kind of finishing up that pilot that I did. And so he was off here with his dancers, you know, like videotaping choreography for it, and would send it to me, and it was great. And I go, oh, can you add this or that? And, you know, and so it was all kind of prepped over the internet. And then I flew in, like, I think it was like the day before, a couple of days before, and then just, you know, got to the set and we did it. And it was just so much fun. And the interesting thing too, is that we had to do a 60 and a 30. So we actually had to do two different spots. And if you watch the 60 and the 30, the 60s, very bright in daytime, and the 30, it's getting pretty dark.
The sun was dropping.
Yes, we were pushing it.
And that day was, the day was, Ellen, we were on another stage shooting stand-up and shooting all the lines and the photo shoot and everything over by Ellen's show. Paul's over here with the dancers. We'd pre-lit the set, but there's dancers and, you know, we rehearsed maybe 20 of them, and then they taught another 20, and they taught a 20. And then I think Ellen came at 3 o'clock, and we had sun mapped where the sun was going to be, and we knew we had only a certain amount of time. So Paul had to work with Ellen, you know, to get that to happen in that amount of time.
How long did you have Ellen? Yeah.
I think
I just remember that, you know, Ellen's, you know, so busy that it was just like, okay, you know, we got to kind of get her in and out of here fast. But she's such a perfectionist too, that she really, you know, she wanted it to be right. One interesting thing, side thing, was our monitor was really screwing up. Do you remember that? And it was like, so I'm watching, and the thing, it was cutting in and out. So I'm like, oh my God, like I hope she's in lip sync mode. I hope it's right. You know, so then I was kind of, watching, you know, live as opposed to the monitor and kind of tracking with it and stuff. So it was very funny. By the time we got it, I was like, okay, we got it. But it was quite a dramatic day.
I'd always heard it was only one day. So that's interesting and crazy also.
Well, it was on a steady cam, so those are transmitted. The
right.
signal static transmitted. So, and the lip sync is paramount on one shot, you know, because you can't fix it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Paul was running out in the street and running back, and, you know, we finally, it all came together, take 7 or 9, or I think it was something like that.
When you finally got the 60 and you did it on take 9, did you feel like, okay, this was perfect, or were you like, there might be some flaws in here, like some dancer off or something, but that's okay because of what we're trying to capture.
Yeah, honestly, it was. I liked how in the moment it was. You know, and
right.
some of the, you know, the dance. You know, I'm such a stickler for fashion and tailoring, and so some of the dancers' tuxedos are a little big and kind of hanging off the collar. And part of me is going like, oh shoot, I wish we had kind of.
I know exactly which shot you're talking about. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That one. It looked like it looked like David Byrne's suit from a.
It was he's coming out of the suit. That one shot. Yes.
Yeah. It's so funny. But I love that because you go like that's real. That's all one take. You know, I'm more of a Jack White guy than the Edge from U2.
Right.
I like it. Like things very kind of garage bandy. And so that was one other interesting little fact about this was that Joseph and I were both wearing tuxedos during the making of this.
Oh, you were? I feel like, Paul,
yeah,
I heard you.
Joseph,
mine was one of those.
You look great. Joseph has to give you you should post the picture of us from behind the scenes.
I have a couple of those. I have us doing a little singing in the rain there in the background.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
but
please send that. We'll post it.
Okay.
I was going to say, Paul, I think I remember you on The Business talking. I think it was The Business. It might have been Dinner Party Download. But
Alex
basically.
Mitchell.
Talking about your fashion.
Elvis Mitchell, maybe? Yeah.
Oh, maybe, but it was Elvis Mitchell. Yeah, but it was, it's just ringing a bell. I listened to a whole conversation with you about how into fashion you are, which I could really go off on a tangent, but I will try not to. But I think that's fun because I don't think men and fashion are a thing we talk about too much anymore.
No, well, if I had my way, we would. I have a line of suits out from J. Crew, actually.
Wow.
So, I have my own line. Yeah.
Well, here's another thing. Paul is, to my knowledge, at least in my experience, Paul comes to set and just head to toe, just like perfect. And it steps up. It's funny. It steps the game up on the set because everybody knows Paul's coming. So everybody's like, do I go this way? But I can't match him, so I'm going to go that way. You hear the guys talking about it on set, and it's like it really sets a standard. It's great.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I've heard that conversation had where, you know, you think it's just clothes, but how you present yourself does make a difference in terms of how people respond to you, all of that. All right, so let's I'm going to fast forward you a little bit. I know that, Joseph, you've done, like you did Neil Patrick Harris in 2015, which is also a really great campaign, but I'm going to fast forward you to Jimmy Kimmel in 2017.
I am Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm the host of the Oscars this year. You know, I get so many letters from people asking me, how do I win one of these? And, well, first thing you have to do is get a job as a waiter.
Mozzarella sticks and your side of donut holes.
Don't mind if I dip. Thank you. Next, you have to go to a lot of auditions.
I don't care how allergic you are, Senator. There's no law that says that a dog can't be president.
That's actually true. And finally, when you do get the role, you have to act your little heart out.
Don't you die on me, soldier! That's an order!
And if all goes well, the Oscar goes to you.
I would like to thank my shaman, Morita.
Don't forget to thank your mother.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mom. And
also, keep it short. I have things to do. So.
And thank you to the Academy.
Now, it's just that simple. The Oscars.
So, Oscars. Can you talk, and then we'll talk about this year's. But so talk a little bit about what you guys did in 2017 and what brought Paul back into the mix for these spots.
Okay, I'll start this one off, Paul. If you remember that year, there was a lot of rain. And the original idea, we came back to Paul. And Paul, again, was like, let's do a one shot. And the original idea was outside where Jimmy's in his show. He tells us to camera, it's so convenient. I'm doing the Oscars across the street. They open the door, and the street's flooded with movie characters. He crowd surfs across and gets dropped off at the wrong door. But it's raining so much, and that was such a big, you know, idea that everyone, we were really sort of, you know, hesitant to try to pull that off in one night on the street in the rain, because that would have been a disaster. So,
yeah,
you know, Paul's involved at that point, and we're talking, and then, as always, Jimmy's team were coming up with ideas, and I can't really remember who actually came up with the idea. If it was a combination of Paul and Jimmy, of we got to move it inside and let's tell people how you get an Oscar and build those sets and still do a one shot. That's my recollection, Paul.
Yeah,
and
that's correct. And actually, mine is that the very first incarnation of the Hollywood Boulevard one was that Jimmy zip lines across.
Yes.
Across
street. From the top of the building.
It was the biggest production I've ever read in my life.
No, and it was one day.
Like, it was awesome, but yeah, totally. And I was kind of like, so I wanted to do it, but at the same time, part of me was going like, oh boy, I don't know if we can pull this off.
Yeah, I'm not sure about one day in this.
You guys should have.
Yeah,
you had that in your pocket. I feel like you could have ziplined. Well, the campaign this year is awesome, so I feel like you went the right direction, but the zipline would have been cool.
Well,
going back to the last year's, which was how to get an Oscar, so Jimmy sort of walks through these different stages. But with Jimmy, just Paul, did you have a pre-existing relationship with Jimmy? One, and two, it seems like Jimmy and his guys get pretty involved in the writing of these promos too, maybe more than some of the other hosts.
Well, they're great. I mean, nothing makes me happier than having like somebody's great writing team available,
right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, because then they can just solve so many problems for us. I had done, Jimmy was nice enough. I'm friends with Jill Lederman, who is his producer on his show. And Jimmy had had me on the show to promote The Heat, you know, a few years back. And so I kind of knew him through that. We had a really nice time on the show together. So I always liked Jimmy, but I, you know, we're not friends or anything. Although I'd like to be. So it was really just, they had this idea. But the other thing about it, Joseph, as you remember, is originally it was going to be completely star-studded.
Yes.
It was going to be basically Jimmy being taught by all these, you know, famous actors that we know, you know, how to do it, how to be a waiter, blah, 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 blah. And just as we got closer, slowly everybody dropped out.
It was the sort of thing that, you know, it's not like they give us a month to think about this. It's right. Always like before it's settled, it's a couple of weeks, and to get stars and everyone booked, it's, you know, there's a lot of ambition, and then it's, you know, sort of tough to do.
Yeah. I mean, how long did you have, going back to the Ellen DeGeneres one, like how long did Twitch have to get all those dancers ready?
He probably had about a week, do you think, Joe?
Week.
Yeah, I mean, that one was more time than we've had on the last two.
Okay.
But we knew, the great thing was Paul had a clear idea of that. And,
right.
And it wasn't like a Jimmy team of writers. That was basically Paul had an idea and we executed. And so we knew, we started thinking about the numbers of dancers and looking at that street and going, we need more, we need more, we need more. And I think Twitch, we walked the street with him a few times, and then we cast. And then, like I said, we cast 20 people, the 20, you know, top dancers, and they started teaching the other dancers when they showed up that day.
Right.
Because we didn't rehearse everybody, you know, in the beginning. That was you go teach 10 and you teach 10. And that was going on.
We have some really fun behind-the-scenes footage that got taken, and I actually took a bunch of pictures of just everybody getting taught the dance that morning, and it was really exciting.
That's like my own personal dream, is to be a backup dancer in that scenario, but my age, talent, and lack of fitness is preventing that dream.
Certainly not. If we do another one, you're there.
Okay, yeah. They'll be like, no. Going back to the Kimmel one, so then you had all these famous actors. I can totally see how those actors would fit into that spot, but then you end up working with somebody, you know, an actor that we hadn't seen before. I think the spot still totally works, but at what point did you realize we're going to have to change it, and was it difficult to come up with the switch, or was that pretty easy change to make?
No. Well, the funny thing is that I, you know, Karin Soni, who did it, I love him. He stars in this Yahoo series I did called Other Space, and he's in all my movies. And he's just like one of the best, you know, kind of money in the bank guys, I call him, because he shows up. He's a great improviser. So I just, when I was going to do this, I was like, hey, Karin, why don't you just, I just want you to kind of be involved. Maybe you can be a waiter. Maybe you can just kind of, oh, no, he was going to be a soldier. He was going to be, there's the scene where the soldier's dying. And I thought, let's have it be Karin, because then maybe he can ad-lib something or have something funny. So then as it's paring down and paring down, getting less and less, I'm starting to go like, maybe we should just have Karin do it. But then that morning, we still had one celebrity that was hanging on by his nails, and then we lost him. And so Karin was just getting ready, you know, for other things. And I went and I said, Karin, guess what? You're going to star in the spot.
You're the guy.
And so, you know, sprung it on him. And, you know, we went to Jimmy, and Jimmy was like, great. You know, I love the guy. And, you know, he nailed it again, because that was a tough one for he and Jimmy, because that was one shot, but it was even tougher than the dance because, you know, we had lines and dialogue, and we had to finish it up in 30 seconds and then a 60-second. And, you know, so we did a lot of takes of that just to kind of get that timing right. And they just nailed it every single time.
I would never think that one was harder than the dance. The dance seemed so complicated to me.
No, you know what? It's when you're balancing dialogue and trying to move people from set to set, and, you know, and kind of getting the timing right on the jokes. It was intensive. I mean, I really tip my hat to both those guys for pulling it off, as well as our Steadicam. I think it was the same Steadicam guy, wasn't it, Joseph?
No, it was the same. Yeah, you're correct. It is exactly the same person.
So why on that spot was it important to you for it to be a one shot? Because on that one, I feel like I could see it being edited and it being okay. But why was it like, no, again, this is how I want it to be?
Well, again, I want these spots to be kind of spectacle, you know, and I just think there's something really fun about that, as opposed to, like, you know, look, the one we just did this year, which we'll talk about, is edited for, you know, for many reasons. It would be, it just wouldn't work as one shot. But this one, I thought, there's something so fun just about the concept of, like, I'm going to walk you through, you know, this process. And so to make it all one shot, I just felt like it was going to give it a really fun energy and make it something that people might talk about. And I just love the idea of sort of pulling back at the end and revealing there's all the sets, there's, you know, you see behind the scenes. Because, you know, Oscars is all about movies and also about knowing what goes on behind the scenes. And so it was a way to kind of strip away everything and to make you aware of the art of movie making the way that the Oscars makes you feel that way.
Right. Right. All right. So let's move into this year's spot.
You know, I dream about it every night.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture. Best Picture. Best Picture.
Moonlight! I can't even open the mail because of, you know, all the envelopes. It just piles up.
Latte for Timmy.
It's Jimmy.
No, it's Timmy.
Come on, man. You got to get the name right. Tried to get past the past, you know, put it behind me, but it just catches up to me. I feel like I'm losing my mind. And then the worst part is, they want me to do it again.
Really?
So what do I do?
I don't care what you do. Just get out of my house.
I thought we were like in this.
Ouch.
And so Jimmy Kimmel, I think when I saw this year's spot, I was actually surprised that ABC signed off on it, just because, I mean, you lean in so much into the mistake from last year, which, I mean, obviously everyone saw and knows about, so it's not like we didn't know that happened, but I was just amazed that you got permission to do it. So describe the spot for me, Joseph, and then just sort of walk me through this process a little bit.
Well, the spot, obviously, there were, you know, there wasn't much more you could do, I think, this year with everything besides, you know, that's gone on this year.
Like, it was too much the elephant in the room. You kind of had to deal with it.
I think so. And I think also it's very Jimmy, you know, he's very self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And I think that's
but it's not Jimmy's fault.
No. And it wasn't Warren's fault. And, and so, you know, they're on board with that, but it also was sort of this idea generated inside Jimmy's camp.
Okay.
You know, because they're, you know, thank God they're irreverent. And they're also, you know, he's very self-deprecating about things. And I think, I mean, honestly, it was the only way to go. But I knew, you know, there were people, there were, you know, all around. Everybody had doubt, you know, about like, oh, is this the right thing to do for the Academy? But within a day or two, everybody was on board. Everybody got, you know, the humor and thought this was the right thing to do.
And why? I mean, what convinced them, do you think? Just the execution?
I think just the situations of you know, Jimmy's going to do a great job of this. And I think that what happened last year is undeniable to not acknowledge that, in, especially after reading this and seeing how it went, that, you know, that this could have put Jimmy in therapy all year.
Right.
You know, for what happened.
So, and then was it, I thought it was really interesting that Warren Beatty is in the spot because I feel like he didn't want to talk about it afterwards, but then he seemed game to do this. So was that tricky at all, or how did that go?
You know, he was each time. I mean, this thing started and stopped a few times because we were having trouble, you know, getting Jimmy scheduled.
Right.
And Warren each time was, you know, game to do it. And I think, look, I think he doesn't mind getting his name cleared up either. You know,
right.
And if anybody had any doubts, and he's such a good sport, you know, he's such a great sport. And I think he really, you know, got the humor behind this as well. It was no one, it's not making fun of anything. It's mainly just,
right,
you know, sort of, you know, taking that situation and expanding it.
And then honestly, the best way to redeem yourself in any situation is to make fun of yourself and to not, you know, have a sense of humor about it. Because when I first read it, I was like, oh my God, this is so, I was so excited about it. Honestly, I need to tell you this, Joseph, because I knew you guys wanted me to do it this year. I was like, I don't think I can do it this year. I'm so busy on this movie. I don't know if I can do it. And then when they sent me that script, I was like, this is too funny. I have to do this. There's no way I'm not going to do this.
No, and honestly, it was touch and go because Paul was really busy. Jimmy was, you know, we were, it's always a sort of a matrix of a schedule to figure out getting everybody there. But everybody was committed to Paul doing this, you know, and Jimmy was committed for Paul doing it. And so we just all had to squeeze in those little, you know, schedule places.
So when did you finally manage to shoot it and where?
We shot it at...
Where were we at, Joe?
We were at Line 204 in Hollywood.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, and we needed to be here, you know, to get everybody, you know, not to be out too far, but we needed big space. There was a lot of sets.
Right.
On this. So we built on two different stages side by side and shot that on, God, I can't remember the date now, but I want to say it was January the 8th or something like that. I can't really remember.
Yeah, something like that, because I had just gotten back from Europe, and I can only tell you now, I was so sick that day that we had. I was just getting, like, kind of getting past the hump of that flu, but I didn't want to tell anybody.
Oh, I had no idea.
But,
that's why I got it the next day. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no. I know exactly. I know. I was like, I wasn't contagious anymore, but I had that thing of just like, where you're just like, feel like you're going to die. But I was like, I am not missing this thing.
Well, you look like a million.
You know, and now I can well, thank you. But now I can always say for the rest of my career, I directed Warren Beatty.
There you go.
And on that one too, it sounds like, well, yeah, you didn't have much time, plus the time you had was limited, plus you were having to shoehorn it into whenever everyone could get there. It's kind of insane.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the other side of not doing a single take is that your day can get very long. You know, and I knew, you know, I wanted to get Jimmy in and out of there, and we had to shoot, you know, a bunch of stuff. But, you know, we moved along really fast. My DP, Adam Durald, is amazing. She's just so fast and does the most beautiful lighting. And you know, so she really made it all possible. We were able to just bounce along very quickly. You know, and Jimmy was a real sport for staying there for so long.
But he and his team also helped, you know, they provided the script. So they had their own contribution.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I mean, they're the greatest. They're so funny. I mean, they're so talented, that group.
Do you guys think? I mean, having worked now as several hosts, and some are actors and some are late night hosts. But do you, like, Joseph? Do you feel like any of them seem particularly suited to the role of Oscar host? Is there anything you notice in sort of producing these promos? Like, this person is really a perfect choice for this job.
Jimmy was amazing. Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've had a long relationship with Jimmy. I've worked with him on the Emmys and on his show. And he and I did a series with Don Rickles last year, Dinner with Don. And he did the he did the pilot for us. And he's just, you know, he's that kind of guy that just really works that well. I thought Ellen also is a person who, on a daily basis, you know, stands up and does this.
Right.
It's a hard job because they're, you know how the internet is, and you know how people, you can't please everybody. And definitely not an easy job to pull off, because we've seen that, as we've seen in the past.
Right. I mean, I think even when they do a good job, they get a little bit raked. I was surprised Jimmy was willing to do it again, frankly.
I think there's not a win-win in there, probably, but maybe there is. But I thought his show was really good, and except for the last piece. And this year, they're turning that around to make light of it, and you know, I hope it will be as good as the show, barring that last.
Well, again, not Jimmy's fault. So
here. That's right.
Okay, so, and then from this campaign now is concluded. So you're done with your Oscar promos, even though the Oscars is in 3 weeks. So we'll see other promos, but those aren't from you guys.
Well, there's always, on these shoot days, while Paul is focusing on, you know, the primary shoot, there's always a marketing shoot going on where it's Jimmy, you know, doing hello to every city in the world. Hello, Cincinnati. All those things are always going on. And there's photos and there's behind the scenes. So, I mean, when you see a person like, you know, come to a set like Jimmy, he doesn't have a second of downtime because he's doing, you know, all of these other things while we're getting set. And as soon as we did that first this year, and he shot, you know, some of the marketing lines and did all those things that you see on our red curtain background that you'll see on air. Mm-hmm. And then we shot, this was the primary focus of the day.
Okay.
But there's rarely a day where in promo world where we go to set where you do one thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, everyone should, not so much promoting Brief, although I also like to promote Brief, but you should go and check out, if you haven't seen it, the Jimmy Kimmel spot from this year featuring Warren Beatty. It's quite funny and irreverent. You guys, thank you both so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paige.
And any closing thoughts, or do you feel like we've covered it?
I think you got in there. I just wanted to say that with a director like Paul is not, you know, typically a promo director, and you know, we worked and had that relationship, and I was just, you know, glad that he wanted to come back and do this again and you know, elevate these spots, because everything that he steps into, he just so easily elevates, and we really appreciate that, Paul.
Oh, well, thanks, Joseph. And I mean, it's really fun working with you and Norm, and they really create, they make it very easy, you know. They're very sensitive to, you know, our schedules and how hard it is, and that's what makes this possible, because if it was any more difficult, you know, then I wouldn't be able to do it, and Jimmy wouldn't, and, you know, whoever's hosting. So I really tip my hat to these gents, because they really run a tight ship.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you guys, and have a great day.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, too. Thanks, Paige.
Bye.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Lafern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaKire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow Lafern at Lafern Cusack, and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.